Sin and disobedience always brings trouble in our lives. Obedience to the Lord and honoring His Word brings blessing. Father, we thank You for the privilege of hearing Your Word, and we thank You for this testimony from Maria. Lord, we thank You for the healing, the restoration, the reconciliation that You brought within her family, and You're continuing to be glorified now in her life, and we thank You for that. Lord, I think of the many who prayed for Maria during those difficult times, certainly her family and others in the church. And Lord, You've been glorified, and we pray You'd continue to be so. Now, Lord, open our eyes to behold wonderful things from Your Word, for we pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 12, commandment number 5. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Some have referred to this as the forgotten commandment. Brothers and sisters, it's no secret that the traditional family, as we know it, is under attack. It's amazing, it's incredible, isn't it, that we are seeing the demise of the traditional family. We are seeing in its place those who would want to bring in what they call alternative arrangements. Two women, for example, who would come together and seek to establish a family, have children by a surrogate father, a donor father, and it's incredible. And yet this is the world that we live in. And yet God's design, given at the creation of the world, one man, one woman, together for life, He said, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth children, love them, raise them to love the Lord your God, and then send them out into the world after You've raised them. The family is the basic unit of society. Many have said it, but as the family goes, so goes the school. As the family goes, so goes the church. As the family goes, so goes the community and the nation. Dennis Rainey, who writes on the family and has that program, Family Life Today, he said, the nation's greatest defense is not its military, as grateful as we are for the military. The nation's greatest defense is not its military, it's the family. You think about that. The greatest defense of a nation is the family. But the family is breaking down. And with it, or causing it, and as a result of it, is the breakdown of the basic structure of authority in our nation. And what happens in the family, and what happens between moms and dads and their children, in terms of understanding this principle of honoring God-given authority in the parents, has ramifications for everything in our culture and ultimately our world. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And if you know Paul's presentation under the Holy Spirit of the book of Romans, you know that in the beginning of the book, he presents this awful picture of a culture and people and the results of a nation or a society that turns away from God and begins to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And at the end of chapter 1, he talks about the results of a nation, of people turning away from God. And he says how, in three times he says, God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over to do the things that that they were desiring to do, including even same-sex relationships. That is like reaching the bottom of the cultural demise. It's there in Romans chapter 1. Of course, when we present that today, we're looked on as bigoted and narrow, homophobic, and all of that. But that's not our idea. That's God's idea of what is right and what is wrong and what will bring a culture down. But at the end of Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over, there's a third time, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but in verses 1 and 2, the apostle says the same thing essentially. He says, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Here it is again, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. The Holy Spirit says that the mark that a culture is disintegrating and falling apart, right in the midst of it with the murder and the greed and all of that, right in the midst is this disobedience to parents. It's right up there with murder and envy and all of the big sins. And sometimes we excuse disobedience to parents and dishonoring to parents, and we think that it's a phase that all kids go through and should be expected to go through, et cetera, et cetera. And God says, this is serious. The very nation and the existence and the continued well-being of the nation depends upon it. So it's important, extremely so. The fifth commandment, I look on it as sort of a bridge. Remember, the first four commandments deal with our relationship with God. How we are to love God. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We talked about that. And number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Loving God. You see, that has to come first. Before you can love people horizontally, before you can have these horizontal relationships, you have to have the vertical relationship with God. That has to be in place because love is of God. Love comes from the Holy Spirit. And so love for God is primary. And then we begin to look horizontally. Then we begin to look towards people. And the very first one that's mentioned in terms of our relationships with others is the family. It's how we honor mom and dad. It's how we relate as a nuclear family. Isn't that interesting? It shouldn't surprise us because what the children learn at home and how things are at home is naturally what's going to happen in the society. If children do not learn to respond to the parents' God-given authority at home, and moms and dads, job number one, we'll talk about this in a bit, job number one is to ensure your kids know that they have a responsibility to respond lovingly to your authority as parents. That's given by God. Unless they learn that at home, they're not going to learn it or practice it in the school, practice it with the law enforcement officers, practice it wherever, on the job, and so on. It's absolutely essential. So look at this commandment number five as sort of a, and it's a way to help you remember it, and I trust you're memorizing them this summer. First four, our relationship with God. Next six, relationship with people, beginning with the home. Beginning with honoring father and mother. As we're going to see, this is a principle, by the way, that we don't outgrow as we leave adolescence and become adults. We remain adult children of our parents. And we have a responsibility to honor them. Well, notice, first of all, the command. The command. What does it mean to honor? It says, honor your father and your mother. If you're taking notes, the basic meaning of the Hebrew word translated honor is to be heavy, to be weighty, to be heavy. It's the word, by the way, that is also translated glory, the glory of God. Ascribe weightiness to your God. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. We sing that sometimes. It means to give God the weight of honor and respect and reverence that's due him. It means to place a high value. In fact, that's the meaning of the New Testament word that's translated honor. So it means to accord great weightiness and respect and reverence for someone. That's what it means to honor. There was a comedian years ago, and he used to say something like, I get no respect. And it was kind of his signature line, right? I get no respect, you know, zero. Just lightweight respect. You see, but the opposite is here. Honor your father and mother. Load them down with honor. Load them down with respect and love. Heap loads and tons of respect and honor. That's the idea. That's the meaning of the word. Young people, listen. Do you treat your parents with loads of respect and loads of honor? Or do you take lightly what they say? And you know, they ask you to do something and there's the little roll of the eyes and oh. That's not weightiness of respect. No, that's treating your parents lightly. And God takes that seriously. God doesn't wink at that. And that principle, as we'll see, is there throughout life. Don't take lightly what they say. Don't take lightly what they desire. God says, honor your father and your mother. Why is this commandment even here in the Decalogue, in the 10 words? I mean, with murder and adultery, these are still coming, and stealing and so on. False witness, lying. I mean, we would say those are biggies. But here we've got honor your father and your mother. Why? Because this does not come naturally. As much as we think, well, that should just be natural. A child should just naturally love and honor and submit to their parents' authority. After all, that child wouldn't be there were it not for the parents, right? I mean, basic 10th grade biology. You wouldn't be there, right? But why? Here's why. Because inside the heart of every child born into the human race is a heart that is bent on rebellion, and a heart that is bent on evil, and a heart that is bent on being the god of its own little universe. It's true. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We're born with that. David said, in sin my mother conceived me, and so on. He was born, he recognized with a sin nature. We all are. We don't have to teach them to disobey. It comes naturally. As sweet and precious as our two little grandchildren are, and we love them, Cammie and I do. And yet I see in those precious little children, little over 2 years of age and one less than 1 year of age, and if one has a toy and the other one, you know, see, hey, they're getting a little too much here, and boy, it's just, you know. Now, they're great children, but they're being taught. But inside the heart of a child is that bent they're born with towards evil and rebellion. Parents, as I said earlier, job number one for you young parents is to love your children. And love means that you're going to teach them and train them from the very beginning that you are in charge in that family under God. You know what's so amazing? It's when I see in the community or just in the culture, 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, and they're in charge. They're in charge. And the poor parents who just seem to be clueless are negotiating and trying to reason. Doesn't work with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old. They're born with that little twisted nature. You know what they do understand? They understand the rod of discipline applied to the seed of knowledge. That's God's given way to help drive the foolish way from the heart of a child. God says so. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, God says in Proverbs. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, I know that in our culture, we live in a day and age because there's so much abuse and so much of just the breakdown of the family that for Christian young parents, this is becoming difficult. And when you're in public, you have to be very careful, don't you? Nevertheless, let's not back away from God's prescribed way of loving discipline with the rod. In our home, it was the wooden spoon. And it got to be, we tried to train our kids early, and it got to be where just the sight of that spoon brought obedience. Now, why is that important? Because as mom and dad teach that in the home from the very young, and the earlier you do it, moms and dads, it begins to pay dividends. It just makes your job easier. It really does. You start when they're young. And our library is filled with books, and I can recommend some to you. Cammie and I, we wanted to know when we started having children. So we read the Bible, we read books. And I'm so grateful that this principle of helping our children learn that mom and dad's authority is given by God. And when mom and dad say something, it's to be obeyed. And there's an honor that's to come to mom and dad's word. Not that we were perfect. Not that we didn't make mistakes. Oh, we made mistakes. But listen, that's so important because that's where the child then learns to respond to all the other authorities, including when God says something, he means it. What does God think about rebellion and disrespect towards parents? I tell you, God says this is serious when there's disobedience, when there's a surly attitude, when there's argumentation against the parents and refusing to obey and all of that. God says that's serious. Look across the page at Exodus 21, verse 15. Exodus 21, 15, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. In other words, someone who rose up and struck, physically struck their mother or father, there was a death penalty with that in ancient Israel. Look at verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Young people, aren't you glad that this death penalty isn't in effect today? Now listen, turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21. See if this ever has applied to you. Deuteronomy 21. Verse 18, if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father or mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So shall you remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear of it and fear. As I said, these death penalties are not in effect today, but they were in ancient Israel. And there's recorded evidences of it in the Old Testament. But what does this show? It shows the enormity of the sin and the seriousness of it, the horror of it. In fact, God is saying the survival of your nation, Israel, the survival of your very culture is dependent on obeying this commandment. So God said it has to be dealt with. If the homes are disintegrating, if the children are defiant towards their parents' authority, it's a sign that the nation is going down. It will cause the nation to fall. It's a result of the nation coming apart when the homes are disintegrating. So God warned them. And as I said earlier, parents, we think, don't we? We think, well, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, I mean, they're going to go through this phase, the terrible twos. Teenagers, they're going to have their time of rebellion. Don't expect that. God doesn't expect that. God's word doesn't give allowance for that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he's not depart from it. No, let's not buy into the culture's idea that, well, you know, give them some slack. They're going to have times. Let's pray that their hearts, that we're going to be able to turn their hearts through the Holy Spirit to the Lord. And these times which later they will regret, these times of rebellion and defiance, which only bring trouble and leave scars, that they're not going to have to experience that. My heart is for you parents, you parents with young children. The culture is arrayed against you, but the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is for you if we will hear God's Word. Young people, listen to me. If you are disrespecting and dishonoring and talking back and defying and refusing to listen to your parents' counsel, that is serious. That is so serious. Notice secondly the promise. Here's the promise. If we'll honor our parents, if we'll obey God in this commandment, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. God said to ancient Israel, he said, if you disobey me, if you don't keep my commandments, I'm going to take you into captivity. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 15, God said, I will wipe you from the face of the earth unless you walk in my ways. I will let your enemies overrun you. I will take you into captivity. But God said, if you obey me, and this is the first commandment with a promise, if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be prolonged in the land. Now, primarily, this is to Israel. God said, you will continue as a nation. You won't be swept away. Your nation won't fall. Because the home is the building block of the nation. As it goes in the home is the way the nation is going to go. By the way, pray for revival. You see, unless we can turn this thing, we can't turn it. Unless we see God turn the hearts of the parents to the fathers, or rather the fathers to the sons and daughters and the sons and daughters to the parents, what hope is there? We need revival. We need revival. We need God to stir our hearts as dads and moms and sons and daughters. And things get right and there be harmony and love and peace and a testimony for Christ. Or it doesn't bode well for the nation. John MacArthur, in his commentary on Ephesians, he says, quote, a person who grows up with a sense of respect for obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. Children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that is ordered, harmonious, and productive. A generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that is chaotic and destructive. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Deuteronomy 5 is the parallel passage to Exodus 20, where Moses was giving the law the second time to the children of Israel after the new generation had rose up, after the 40 years of wandering. Deuteronomy 5, 16. Let me just read that to you. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. See that? Not only that your days would be prolonged, your nation will continue, but that it would go well with you. Go well with you. Go well with you. There's a principle here that obeying God in this commandment is going to cause your life to go better. I mean, that's true with all the commands of God, obviously, and walking in His way. But isn't it interesting? Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, Solomon said, do not despise my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. See, it begins in the heart. Let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. It doesn't mean that every obedient son, every obedient daughter is going to live to be a ripe old age. Jesus fulfilled this command as he did all of them perfectly. He lived to be 33. Of course, he rose the third day. Hallelujah. But listen, there's a general principle that when you honor your parents, that God is going to cause your life to be prosperous spiritually. You'll experience His blessings, His power, His grace. Let me speak to the young people. Listen up. Young people, listen to me. This is so incredibly important. If you are giving mom and dad a hard time, if you are defying them and disobeying their authority, If you just kind of speak ill of them, to them and about them, and you're frustrating their desires for you, not that they're perfect, not that they don't make mistakes, but you're challenging them and arguing and disobeying, outright defiance of them, listen to me. Your life is not going to go well. Talk to Maria again. Your life will not go well. God says that it may go well with you. Honor them. But when you do, your life begins to experience the peace of God that He intends you to have, and the joy of the Lord, and the grace of God, and satisfaction, and direction, and so on. Otherwise, it's confusion. It will not go well. Sin always robs. Obedience always enriches. Well, let's talk about applying this principle, applying this fifth commandment. Note, first of all, it says, honor your father and your mother, period. You see that? Notice it doesn't say, honor the parents among you, the fathers and mothers who are perfect. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, honor them if they've never made a mistake. Honor them only if they're giving you what you want. Of course not. It's unconditional honor. Honor your father and your mother. It's unconditional. Now, that shouldn't surprise us. Are you and I called to unconditional love even of our enemies? Yeah. As hard as that is, to the one who stabbed you in the back, to the one who's taken something from you, to the one who's abused you, the Word of God says, love your enemies. Do good to them who've hurt you. Speak well of them who've persecuted you. Husbands, it says love your wives as Christ loved the church. Does that mean you love your wife as long as she hasn't backed your pickup into the tree? As long as she hasn't burnt the biscuits? Of course not. It's you love your wife. Wives, it says respect your husbands. Ephesians 5:33. Reverence your husbands. Doesn't say only if he's perfect. No. Even if he's forgetful, even if he's insensitive, just go down the line. Respect, reverence. It's unconditional, just like love is. Same way here. Young people, all of us, honor. Honor. They're imperfect. Doesn't matter. You honor them. It's God's will and plan. Notice, secondly, there's no term limits. There's no expiration date. It's not just for young children. This was given to the nation. Honor your father and your mother. As long as you have them, you honor them. So what does it look like? Oh, by the way, notice it's father and mother. Kids, do you ever try to pit mother against father? And maybe you obey one, but the other you don't? God says, honor your father and your mother. All right, five ways that honor can be carried out. Five ways that honor looks like. Number one, obedience. Obedience. Now this, for young children, for those up to the age 18 to 20, when you're under your parents' domain, you're in their home, before you've launched out and you're establishing yourself on your own, the key way that you show honor to mom and dad is obedience. You obey them. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right. It's understood. Obey your parents in the Lord. You know what the word obey there means in the New Testament? It means literally to hear under, to listen under. It means you get under your parents' authority and you listen to them. You look at them when they're speaking. And you listen, and you do. Children, obey, it says. Listen under your parents. Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The one exception is if mom and dad ask you to do something that is clearly violating a command of God. They tell you to steal something, etc. No. That's the only exception. Even if you think it doesn't make sense, even if you think it's unreasonable, and by the way, as children grow and get to be in the adolescent years and teenage years, of course there's room to sit down and have family councils and level-headedly talk through the issues. But kids, you beware the attitude of mom and dad don't know what's going on and they're out of it. That is so dangerous to your well-being. Exposes you to a lot of stuff. Obedience includes your attitude, willingly, promptly. You know how that is. They ask you, clean your room. Oh, come on, I cleaned it a year ago. You know, it's the attitude. I'll do it later. You see, what you're developing, young people, is a hardened heart to the voice of God. And when He says something, well, it's optional. It's optional. No, it's not. So obedience. Number two, another aspect of honor is respect. Respect. Leviticus 19, verse 3 says, every one of you shall reverence his father and mother. Whoa. Reverence. Respect. That involves how you think about them. How do you think about your parents? Those thoughts that come. And you rehearse those thoughts. Be careful how you think. Think thankful thoughts. To respect means you recognize what they've done right. You recognize the sacrifices they're making and have made for you. You speak and you think of them with an attitude of thankfulness. It includes how you speak to them with kindness. Not, you know, they ask you to do something and they're talking to and you're, rolling the eyes again. Groaning, sighing. Oh, that is so disrespectful and dishonoring. How you speak about them. When I was in high school, I don't know if kids still talk this way. It was my old man this or my old lady that. And they were talking about their mom and dad. And I remember as a young person just thinking, man, that is so disrespectful. This is my father. This is my mother. Thirdly, honor includes a lifelong obligation for love and affection. For love and affection. It says, honor your father and your mother regardless of how old you are or how old they are or your station in life. You honor them. Listen, I know there are some probably even seated here today or listening in. You don't have happy memories of your childhood. You don't have pleasant memories of how you were raised. But remember, this says honor. Regardless, it says honor them. You honor them. So honor includes love and affection. It includes forgiving them as Christ has forgiven you. It includes seeing them with eyes of understanding and compassion. Maybe their life was so messed up or filled with whatever. But can you forgive? By the power of grace and the Holy Spirit, you can. Love and affection. You know, our culture more and more sees the elderly and the aged among us as what? Less important. That's the culture of death we live in at both ends of the age continuum. You know what God says? The aged are to be accorded more importance because it's the voice of wisdom. The gray head in Proverbs is talked about as to be honored. You see, so when we practice this commandment to honor parents, to honor the aged, to honor father and mother, we're bucking the culture. And that's for the glory of God as we do that. Love and affection, visits and calls to parents. Many parents in nursing homes and care facilities go long seasons without a visit or a call from family. Something else about love and affection. I read this book. It's in our church library. It's by Dennis Rainey. It's called The Tribute and the Promise. How honoring your parents will bring blessing to your life. I read the book. I knew this book was out there, and I wanted to do something for my folks. Now, I happened to be raised in a home where, you know, great parents, great relationship, and so on. And again, some of you haven't had that privilege. The book addresses that. How do you honor, how do you write a tribute for parents in that difficult situation? And the book has some of that in here. And I commend it to you. But what I wanted to do was to write out a tribute to my mom and dad. I did it for my dad about 5-6 years ago when he was 80. And I did it later for my mother. I wrote it out, and I want to share, just not to be self-serving, but just to give you an idea, to stimulate your thinking. Because you see, this is so powerful. My folks took this. I had it, you know, typeset and then had it framed and read it to my mom and dad. Cammie and I were there. We visited them up in North Dakota a few years ago in the apartment. And right now it's hanging on my parents' wall, prominently displayed in the living room. It is so powerful. It's not necessarily the words I said. It was what was behind it, the sincere thankfulness. Cammie's done this for her folks as well. To Dad with love. Underneath it, I had this verse, Proverbs 17:6. The glory of sons is their fathers. On the occasion of your 80th birthday, I want to pay tribute to you for being my dad. In many ways, you've helped make me what I am today. I thank you for the many wonderful childhood memories. I had the neatest thing in town when you brought home the modified upside-down tricycle years before the big wheels were invented. I remember when you brought home a live pony in the back seat of the car. I remember the surprise of new ice skates for Christmas after you told us to open Grandma's fruitcakes. I remember all those winter mornings when you drove me around on my morning paper route. I was glad when we'd stop at Jamestown Cafe and sit at the counter together for something hot to drink. I've always been proud of you. Growing up, you were my hero, and you were a hit with the neighborhood kids. They'd come running to get a motorcycle ride or maybe a nickel from your coin purse. You taught me by example what commitment to the Lord and to His church looked like. I remember the cold winter morning that you and I walked on the frozen James River to get to church when the car refused to start. I learned by example about giving to the Lord's work. When you let me put the offering in the plate, I was always amazed at the amount. Now, I'm skipping some things here. You showed me how common sense is the way to think. Your letters to the editor made me think you could be in public office if you chose to be. From you, I learned that misbehavior has consequences. Thank you for loving me enough to apply the rod of correction to the seed of knowledge and helping shape my character. As you cared for your parents in their later years, I saw a living illustration of honoring one's father and mother. Most of all, thank you for loving Mom and staying together for all these years. You've left your children and grandchildren an enduring legacy of faithfulness and commitment. I am so thankful the Lord gave you as my dad. I love you, Dad. Your son, Fred. And I signed it. Now, could it be that God would lead some of you, maybe, to honor your folks with a tribute? That's between you and the Lord. I just know that when I gave that to my dad, I was emotional. My dad was emotional. And as I said, probably more than a lot of things ministered to them. We're talking about honoring father and mother. Fourthly, it includes care and support. We have to quickly move on. It includes care and support. Lifelong. Dennis Rainey comments, for most of the first 18 to 20 years, our relationship with our parents could be compared to a one-way street, right? Parents are doing all the giving, basically. All the dollars they're investing, all of the things, all of what they're doing to raise us, to teach us, to grow us up. It's kind of a one-way street. Rainey says the problem is when we get out on our own, and if it continues to be a one-way street, it's meant to be a two-way street at that point. Care and support. Care and support. Surveys reveal that only about half of those in America believe that they have any responsibility to care or look after their parents. There's a Dutch proverb that says, it's easier for one poor father to bring up 10 children than for 10 rich children to provide for one poor father. See, now, God would say that's upside down. That's backwards. In fact, in 1 Timothy, write this down in your notes, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, it says that children are to give back something to their parents. 1 Timothy 5, 3, honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Jesus, remember in Matthew 15, verse 4 and 5, he saw the Pharisees who had parents who had need, financial need, and the Pharisees said, oh, mom and dad, that money's been dedicated to God, korban, dedicated to God. And Jesus said, you hypocrites, you should have helped your parents. You just want to spend that money on yourself. And Jesus took them to task for not providing for care and support. There's a reversal as our parents age. When we were young, they fed us, they dressed us, they put us in the car seat, they took us to the doctor, they took us to church, they pushed the stroller, they made decisions for us, they handled our emergencies, and they got up in the middle of the night for us. And then things turn. Then it's our turn to make decisions, to manage their finances, to put them in the car, to take them to the doctor and church, to feed and help dress them, to push the wheelchair, to get up in the middle of the night. This doesn't mean that all of us can have our parents live with us in our homes and care for them that way. It does mean that as our parents age, we will see to it that they have all of the care, all of the support, all of the nurture that they need. That's part of honoring them. Jesus modeled that on the cross, didn't he? As he was dying, he turned to the apostle, looked at the apostle John. John, behold your mother. It was Jesus' earthly mother, Mary, and Jesus provided for her as the eldest son as he was dying, because he understood this principle of honoring father and mother. Fifth, we honor our parents by our righteous life and conduct. How we live. How we live. No greater joy than to know of my children walking in the truth. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Proverbs 10, 1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. You think this is the overlooked commandment? So often we think of the big ones, don't we? No idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. And so on. And right in the midst of it, right at the head of our relationship to people, is honoring father and mother. And God promises a blessing as we obey this, and harm and difficulty if we don't. By the way, you can't keep this commandment. None of us can. Only Jesus kept it perfectly. But you see, Jesus died on the cross, including for our sins, including the sin of dishonoring our parents. Christ died for your sin and mine in that way. And you know what? He perfectly obeyed the law that we can't obey. He honored his parents and all the other things in the will of God and the commandments of God. Christ perfectly obeyed, and now he offers life and forgiveness and salvation to all who will accept his finished work. And all of his righteousness, all of his obedience, all of his perfection will be given to the one who invites Christ into their life as Savior and Lord. Isn't that incredibly gracious and amazing? Have you received Christ as Savior? He's done everything necessary for you to be right with God. And let me speak to the children today, to the young ones. Listen, if you've dishonored mom and dad, if you are dishonoring them, and you know in your heart that you're strained, your relationship is strained with mom and dad, listen to me. Today is the day to confess that and acknowledge that to God and to them. God, I'm in sin. Mom and Dad, I've been resisting you. I've been frustrating you, making life hard for you, dishonoring you. You need to go to them. You need to go to God. You need to go to your parents and get right. And begin to allow the grace of God to flow in your life. If you're here this morning, you have adult parents and you're on the outs with them. God would have you be reconciled. And God would have you honor them. Forgive them, whatever the case may be. But as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. If I can help you, the leadership can help you, the pastors can help you, work through this, walk through this, we'd love to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the principle of Scripture, Lord, that we've considered today, this great principle of honor and authority and submission. Lord, do your work in our midst, in a world that is turned truth on its head and that is just upside down and out of sync with you. God, help us. Help us in how we live and how we train our children, Lord, for your glory, to shine forth the light of truth that a needy world would see, the light and the grace and the truth that is in Jesus, in us and through us. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you. Go with us as we seek to live your truth in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.